Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. It's still the Morning Crossfire, 99.3 Nigerian for, of course, okay, advertised earlier. We will be speaking with the special advisor to the governor of Oyo State on security matters, former commissioner of police, Fatai Woshini. I was very busy as far as, the security of Oyo State is concerned, advising the governor. And their hands have been full with the recent explosion in Ibadan, Bodija axis of Ibadan Oyo State, which unfortunately claimed some lives right there. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, a lot of you here in Lagos, across the country, and our listeners around the world have been asking, for details on the Ibadan explosion. Today is your day. Tonight, this morning is your chance. You have to call in, and then you can ask our guest any question you would like to. All right, and numbers are the same: 0700-993-993-993. Number again: 0700-993-993-993. A number to call, and of course, our female listeners who might find it difficult to get through that number, you can call your special line: 0201-465-7190. 0201-465-7190. On WhatsApp, we are at Nigeria Info FM. No, sorry. WhatsApp number is 0809597805. 0809597805. You can call the WhatsApp number, however, you can send a message to it. On Twitter or X, we're at Nigeria Info FM. On Facebook, search on Nigeria Space Info Space 99.3, or type in your browser at facebook.com/NigerianInfoFM. Look out for your comments there. Mr. Fatai Woshini is a former commissioner of police in Lagos State. I'm sure Lagosians remember his time here very well, with fondness as well. He did a good job while he was a CP in Lagos State. And these days, he's a special advisor on security matters to the governor of Lagos State. Mr. Fatai Woshini, good morning to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Good morning, the studio, and good morning, listeners at home.
All right. I'm sure Lagosians remember your time with fondness, and also possibly, are happy to hear from you today. And we want to say that, well done with the good job you've been doing in Oyo State. We've been seeing you on online and on the different media platforms, giving information about the ongoing investigation and rescue efforts for those affected by the Oyo State Ibadan Bodija explosion. We know you're a retiree these days, and you've woken up this early to join us, and we're grateful for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Lagosians and Nigerians, if you want to call in, please do that right now. Like I said, today we're discussing the explosion that rocked number one Dejo Oyeleshe close. That's Oyeleshe close off Adeyi Avenue, Bodija, on the 16th of January. That's last Tuesday. Yesterday made it 1 week. The explosion, which happened in that Bodija axis of the city, was confirmed by the Oyo State Governor Seyi Makinde, and he said at least three persons lost their lives when explosives stored at a private residence was detonated. Mr. Woshini, do we know, sir, what explosive device, as we speak, was used for, or was responsible, let me say, for the carnage in Bodija?
It's been indicated that, from evidence and material evidence that were recovered at the site, that it must have been a kind of explosive stored in that building. But for you to know the character of the explosive, we have to wait for the experts, because the explosive ordnance people from the Nigerian police and the Nigerian army have taken some materials from there. It is not until when scientific and lab examinations are concluded that we can say this is the character of the explosive, that is, it's this particular type. So it is not until then that we can be talking of this is the particular one.
Okay. Interesting. Governor Shehu Makinde earlier in the week, while commending, you know, security agencies in Ibadan for maintaining law and order around Bodija, the location of the blast, he said, and I quote, "Security agencies are still investigating the incident and an update on the investigation will be published." So what's the latest with the investigation?
I can say to you that the investigation is coming up well. And a point of a correction, if you've seen further updates from His Excellency Governor Shehu Makinde, who is the Grand Commander of the Disaster Management, the number of fatality, that is death recorded, has been, you know, two number has been added. So it's not three, as you earlier indicated, it's five.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So we have five souls that were lost to that blast. Some people feel that the number ought to be more than that, looking at the impact of the explosion, you know, and then the number of buildings affected, and also looking at the time the explosion took place, where, you know, residents would be at home. Some persons, reporters we had on the ground, said they saw some body parts being, you know, gathered into body bags. It's not that we want to hear that more people have died, but what's your response to this school of thought that the number of dead is being understated by the Oyo State government? What's your response to that school of thought?
Everyone would think so, but what we've been doing on ground, and of course physically present, personally, I got there at about 8 p.m. The explosion took place just some minutes before 7:30. And, you know, we've been on ground at that ground zero. That is the epicenter. And, of course, the governor also came to join us. He was there till about 2:30 a.m. Some of us were there till about 5 a.m. So, rightly so, people will think like that. But somehow, we shouldn't even lose a single person, talk less of now talking of a large number. A lot of things, and these are, you know, things that can be adduced to have made that casualty number low. One, it happened at a time when a lot of residents were still mentally active. Mentally active in the sense that, you know, in Nigeria, when you hear Osad, even if it is the tire of a car that got busted, people will start drowning. So people were still mentally active as of that time. Secondly, you are also talking about an area where you have, you know, lots of absentee landlords, so many retired people who are either with the children abroad. The ones that are not with children abroad is just daddy and mommy and maybe housemate. So quite a number of the houses were not as heavily populated. If the incident had happened, say, like about 10:30, 11, maybe would not be talking of you know, a small number like this, because people would be asleep and most of the things that fell would have fallen on them. So all those things put together. And, you know, it started like a fire spark that people think it was an electrical spark and a fire incident. So as of the time people were saying fire, 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 everyone has been, you know, alerted as to start, you know, evacuating the place. And of course, the response, especially from the security team, was such a swift one that they were also able to help people out of the place fastly. You know, those people that were wounded, that were injured, and of course, you know, quickly got them to the hospital. So that probably explains why. But we shouldn't even be talking of losing one person. talk less of having five altogether. The body bags that were taken have been accounted for in the number because we also have a pathologist, a forensic expert, putting those things together. And I can tell you that some of the things that were removed and put in body bags, which some of the owners of the houses have confirmed, dogs. But at the same time, we can't say emphatically this until when the pathologists, come out to say, okay, I put these things together. I've done, matching of parts and, samples taken from relatives.
All right.
Before you can categorically say, this is the type of, tissues that were removed from there.
Quite interesting. I mean, before I take the next call, I think we were impressed by the swift response of those of you in the Oyo State government, led by the governor of Oyo State. Also, giving all the assistance and help to the people who were injured, giving out a directive to the hospitals to treat anyone who came in, injured, wounded, and that the government would take care of the bills and even hotels and all that. It was exemplary, and we commend you for that. We have a caller on the line, 99.3. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, the microphone heavyweight.
Thank you, sir. Your name, please, and your contribution.
Yeah, this is the Merchant Man.
Welcome.
Good morning to your guest. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, my question is, the first time he had explosives went up in some part of Nigeria, we actually knew what it was for. Now, we have been told that these explosives were as a result of people who were mining. Sir, I really want to know, because most times you see our government are economical with the truth. Either they don't want us to start panicking, or they want to always play political correctness. I really want to know why it should be in the residential areas that such explosives should be kept, and what actually were those explosives being used for?
Measurement time.
Okay, time. Okay. Thank you
very much. I appreciate it. We'll take one more call and allow our guests to answer.
Yeah, Kofi Bachelor.
Good morning. Who do we have on the line, please?
How are you, my brother?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, we have Ambassador Musba here from Ocean.
Right. Ambassador,
good morning to our guests from Sleepy Lagos.
Good morning.
To me, the question I want to ask you, sir, certainly when you're in Lagos, I've engaged you on this. What I'm saying is that those people there, you want to tell me the DPO, the division office, or police officer in that local government, in that area, and the policemen, they don't know about this. You know, sometimes it happens like that. When the men of security just go there and just leave them greetings and go. You know, to me, first time information, what is that duty in case of, for this to not reoccur? Is it possible, whenever something happens like this, the division of police officer at that place should be sanctioned for failing to give the information to the higher authority? How about that? Thank you.
All right, Ambassador Musbal, thank you very much for your time. CP, I hope you remember the questions, and we'll give the floor now to respond to them.
It's more or less the same question they're asking. How did the explosive get there? That is where all of us have collective responsibility. The security people, whether DPO, SSS, Civil Defense, Nigerian Army, they are not magicians. They work on information. It is when people, that's why we say, if you see something, say something. How did those things get there? The question will be answered by the owner of that property. But the investigation is already leading us to how those things, got there. If you've listened to me in other places, under the law that regulates this thing, the Mining Act, the Old Explosive Ordnance Act, when you are doing such a business, there is what they call magazine. Magazines are where those things are kept. And, it's a precondition, it's a prerequisite for anyone doing such a business to show that he has a suitable magazine. When they say suitable, some of those magazines even used to have air conditioners. In the days, they will also say, if you don't have, go and store at the Nigerian Army magazine and the police magazine. So it is when you want to use them that will go there check the number you want to use. The bomb expert will follow you to where you are going to use it, and they will make a record. If you have acquired 10, if you used one, they will make a record, the time and date, and they will supervise how you use it. But in this case, we are seeing someone carelessly, knowingly that those things shouldn't be stored in the house, move them from wherever they've been kept before to the building. And I can tell you, it is not about political correctness. It is about what the facts that we've seen on ground. And of course, being corroborated by the people that also habitated the house, who were treated as victims before, but now found out to be, you know, having a knowledge. And like I told you, yes, people want us to talk fastly. I can tell you that the investigation is progressing well. And of course, you know, more facts are emerging as to how those things got there. So when people are callous and they do things like that, if people don't come out to say, oh, we saw this person. Some people in the area have said, we used to see trucks that looks like this, that looks like that. It is now people are saying this. And I can tell you, within the past 4 or 5 days that we had this incident, you need to see the number of people and that are saying, no, on my street, I have been suspecting this. I've been suspecting that. Wow. I've been suspecting some problems. Wow. So you will now be asking the question, why is it now that people are saying that? So that is to say, hey, God forbid, and may God, you know, accept the dead into paradise. If we had not had this incident, so people would have kept that conspiracy of silence, because within from that day till today, so many people had come out to say, oh, we noticed this thing, we noticed that. The same thing happened immediately after this incident. People were saying, no, and we used to see a truck. We suspected that some people that are doing this business must have been storing something here illegally. So that is how we are made up in Nigeria. And I think incident of this nature, we, you know, is like an awakening process. People will be more, security conscious. If you see something, say something. If you suspect something is happening within your neighborhood, if you cannot go to the police or security people that you think they will expose you, you have association, street association, and all those things. And we're also talking of a location where you have elites, professors emeritus. Even one of our former deputy governors live in that area, that they can come out strongly if they had gotten right information. But those are people that cannot just be wished away. Those are people that can stand up and say, oh, governor, we want to see you. This is what we've noticed. And the person that was living in that building, it has not just started living there 2-3 months ago. It's someone that has been there for about 7 years. The chairman of the Resident Landlord Association, who was once our deputy governor, said, oh, the person that we know that rented this as many years ago is so person.
All right.
It's from this country.
Mr. Washani, please hold the thought. You've said a lot, and I think people are going to learn from this experience, both from government and from the public. We want to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Morning Crossfire. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, welcome back. You're still listening to the Morning Crossfire right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Kofi Bartels. It's 32 past the hour of 8 o'clock. Today we're looking at the aftermath of the butter explosion that rocked number one Dejo Oyeleche Close, Adeyi Avenue, that's in Bodija, Ibadan, on Tuesday evening. Last Tuesday, today makes it a weekend, one day, January 16th, that is. That explosion, which happened in the Bodija area of the city, was confirmed by the Oyo City government. And the governor, you know, told us then that two persons were lost, but it later moved to three. Today, our guest has told us that the death toll has gone up to five. May their souls rest in peace. Tens of other persons have been treated and discharged from hospitals around Oyo State. In a statement following the incident, the governor of Oyo State, Shane Makinde, confirmed the loss of lives, reported that 77 individuals were receiving treatment in both public and private hospitals. So our guest this morning is the special advisor to the governor of Oyo State on security matters. He's a former commissioner of police in Lagos State. I'm sure a lot of you know him quite well. Mr. Fatai Owosheni is with us on the Morning Crossfire. Your calls, your thoughts, or contributions, questions are welcome on the numbers we usually advertise, 0700-993-993-993, 0700-993-993-993. For a female listeners who cannot get through that line, we have a special number for you, 0201-465-7190, 0201-465-7190. And of course, it's the same old number, just simply put 02 in front. Now, we're giving away 10,000 naira to five lucky winners, listeners rather, courtesy OnePlay.ng. You can play for 500 naira, and simply by spending 500 naira, you get to walk home with 10,000 naira if you your number is picked at the end of the day. We'll do a raffle draw before I go this morning. So play right now. Go to the website www.oneplay.ng. That's number one, and then the word play, oneplay.ng. And you can click on the box that has the Nigeria for logo. Click on the button that says play for 500 naira, and wish you the best of luck. All right, CP Fatai Owosheni, the investigation, you've said quite a number of interesting things, that the death toll right now stands at five persons. You've also said that you've been able to gather, the state government and security agencies have been able to gather information as to what may have led to the blast, the immediate and remote causes. And those who live around the area came forward with information, including some very prominent persons. For instance, we have some senior advocate of Nigeria. I saw him speaking the other day. And the former deputy governor of Oyo State, who is the chairman of the Residents or Landlords Association. You've also made a case for citizens to be forthcoming with information. You've said right now a lot of people are coming forward with some information or the other, one information or the other, about what is suspect in their parts of Ibadan. You've also said that forensic experts are still going through the evidence they have to try and understand what explosive device was responsible and the source, the origin. You've also said that the person who may, who is a person of interest in all of this and is a suspect, lived in that estate for upwards of 7 years, 7 years or more, and it was quite known to the people around there. You've also said that given reasons why the death toll may not be that high. So this individual, this person of interest, is he currently with the authorities? Has he been arrested? Was he part of those who died during the explosion? Please tell us about him. Because I heard the former deputy governor talking about a certain Mr. Kamara.
Just like the chairman of the Landlord and Resident Association had said, that a certain Mr. Kamara lived there. It is not just only Mr. Kamara that lived there. Are persons of interest. He has family members that live with him. But I can tell you, Mr. Kamara is actually, he wasn't in the house as of that time. Mr. Kamara has not been in this country for the past 1 year. He had a sickness or so that had, you know, taken him out of the country. And of course, family members, wives, and some other family members live in that house. And of course, I had mentioned that certain people that were taken as victims to the hospital before that were found to be persons of interest. And some of them happened to be people that lived in the house and of course knew what were kept in the house. Some people are in custody, and of course, when I say investigation is progressing well, you know, information as to how those things got in there and exactly what happened, because they were in the house when you know, this thing emanated. So they talking to the investigating team. The investigating team is made up of representatives of all the security agencies and, you know, experts in the field of explosives and all those things. So they're putting these things together. Sometimes when you are doing investigation, you don't quickly want to bring out certain information. And just like the governor of Oyo State has said, the state is going to get to the root of the thing. You know, the reports may even serve as lessons learned for all the states and other people.
Quite interesting. I have more questions for you, but let's take this call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Who do we have on the line? What's your name?
Good morning to your guest as well.
Welcome, Ms. Obuli. Your contribution, please.
All right. I just want to ask a question. Mr. Kayode, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah.
All right. I just feel that the security operatives in Oyo State failed us as a nation. Ever since this news broke, I'm trying to wrap my head around the term illegal mining. They were not ghosts. They must have gotten into this country one way or the other. And this kind of a thing, we can't do it over there, wherever it is they've come from. Lives have been lost, for crying out loud. We are all grieving as Nigerians, and I feel so pained. So even if they are found culpable, of course they won't be killed. But don't you think we've handled this issue we are supposed to have handled this issue proactively, rather than these reactive measures we are taking? Thanks, right. And God bless you.
All right, thank you very much, Mrs. Obuli, for that. I'll take another one, and then I go back to our guest. Good morning. Hello, can you hear me, please? All right, sorry about that. 99.3, good morning.
Yeah, morning, King of Radio.
Welcome. Please go on.
Mr. Oshini, good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you, sir?
Thank for your good job back those days in Lagos. Thank you very much.
Like you said,
when you see something, you say something. King of Radio, I said this the other day when one of the guests was here. People who live around there. You see, the man I say for the past, that person has been living there for 7 years. Even the LCD or landlord, whatever association, they themselves did not know. You see why they're going to sign that thing in that area? Because they see it as a big man zone. So the security agent, and nobody will come and know such thing is going on here. So I still blame our people who live in that environment. And Nigerians never learn lesson. Such thing is still around them there. They will keep quiet. I wish they would learn from this one and speak out. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. Okay. I think Esther's question is something we can look at. As she says, could the authorities, security operatives have been proactive? You've answered that question in a way, but I want you to go back there. Maybe, you know, respond to what Esther asked. Mr. Oshini.
All of us must be proactive. She had said, the DPO, everybody, the security people should be queried. You know, when they talk of proactiveness, it doesn't just come that way. It's people that will see things that will raise alarm. And I'd mentioned before, these persons righteously probably move those things to where it's not supposed to be. In some other countries, it's even a member of the household that we raise the issue. The landlord association has said, Mr. Kamara has been a good tenant in that area. He pays his resident association dues and whatever. So while some young people had said, we used to see this kind of vehicle, that kind of vehicle, but nobody had come out to say this. And what I'm emphasizing is this. You are talking of, you know, an area where you have such caliber of people that can engage the tenant, that I can engage the landlord, that can also engage the government, that the government won't have a choice other than to listen to them. So what are we saying here? What we're saying is that it's a collective responsibility. It's not about, these security people ought to know. Yes, they ought to know. They ought to know in the sense that even when approval is given for people to buy such things, they were supposed to be escorted to the magazine. They ought to know. All of us ought to know. But somehow, all of us shirking our responsibility. I mentioned when I started, how come that between that day and now, almost 10, 15, 20, you know, a whole lot of information are coming out to say that in my street, beside my house, I've been suspecting this. So if we hadn't gotten this incident, everybody would have kept quiet. So we shouldn't wait until it happens before we start speaking out.
Maybe Mr. Fatao Oshini, maybe it's because we don't have a culture of being vigilant and reporting, suspicious movement or activities to security authorities because of fear. You know, we know the usual fear people have in talking to the police. I mean, you are a well, you know, respected and accomplished police commissioner, so you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you've had reason to engage with police community relations committee and all that. Is this now also an opportunity for the security department of the Oyo State government to say, okay, let's build on this to create a culture of reporting? I know some numbers are put out. Maybe put out some hotlines, I tell you what, sir. One of the countries I visited, sorry, I'm taking some time, I'll allow you to speak, but in Singapore, every single taxi driver who picked me up kept asking me the same question. Who are you? Where are you coming from? What are you here to do? In a playful manner. And my hunch told me these guys are just going to feed information back to, you know, a particular, you know, body or something. And I never saw a single policeman on the streets of Singapore, except maybe to fix something, maybe some broken down something somewhere. So is this an opportunity for us to build a culture of vigilance amongst the people? Put out some number, put out an email address, put out a hotline, you know, something.
We had a culture of vigilance, civic responsibilities. We are talking of a country where they taught civic duties, civic as a subject in schools in those days, that we don't teach again. We are having a country that history was stopped at a point in time. People are bringing it back. I did, a course in Singapore for about 2 months at the Singapore Civil Service School.
Oh, I see.
So I know what you're talking about. I've been to so many places. In some of the countries, whoever that you see on the road that is a taxi driver is an intelligence officer or something like that. So here, it's just that at a point in time, decadence, value erosion, everything crept in. And all of us now resorted to, hey, I must earn my living. If I can drive out to go and work and come back home, whatever happens beside me, it doesn't matter to me. So we have to do a reawakening. And that is what the orientation agency should be doing. One of the reasons why the state has now created its own orientation agency. So it is about all of us, about lack of confidence as well. People that are bringing things out now, it's not as if they admit security personnel one-on-one, but they're putting things online. And I've said it before, we shouldn't be giving these excuses. There are so many means of getting out information now that we go viral. And whether government likes it or not, whether security people likes it or not, once it goes viral, somebody will ask questions and they must act on it. So we should take the positive advantage of technology rather than using it negatively.
All right. Interesting. Yeah, we have a listener on the line. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, welcome. Your name and contribution, please.
Yeah, good morning, please. My name is Mr. Friday.
Welcome.
Yeah. I just want to contribute to this issue that the commissioner is saying. You see, the security forces in Nigeria, they will just come out and tell you different things. Whereas the people in Ibadan there knows what is really going on. I've lived in Ibadan. Anything concerning this illegal mining is not a secret. It's something that everybody knows. Your neighbor, the traditional rulers, all of them knows about it. It's not a secret. To the extent that their wives have an association, they have association where they celebrate and mine with anybody they want to. So it's not something that the commissioner will come and tell us now that there is nothing like investigation. They know these people. You and I, even the people, they are the neighbors. Everybody knows these people. They are all Senegalese. Let's not deceive ourselves.
Okay, Friday, please hold on. I want to give Mr. Fatao Oshini a chance to respond to what you've said. Mr. Oshini.
Yes. Everyone knows, as I said. He himself knows what step has he taken. And stop, I will advise people, don't generalize. that security people will just come out to say whatever. You didn't know me. And of course, in this state, I'm man by the man. So will I keep quiet and want people to die? Which governor would be happy to want to see people die? We are talking of facts, what we've seen physically and with interaction. I have blood relations, my siblings that live within that area. So it is not just about covering up anything. It is what we've seen. And of course, from what we've seen in the course of the work we've done as to our attitude, you will agree with me that there's moral decadence. The value system has gone low. There is no one that will not agree that this country needs a rebirth. And when you talk of a rebirth, it is not just about security. The security people you are talking of, they are your brothers and sisters. They are taken from the same community. So will they do better? It is garbage in, garbage out. So that is where emphasis that is being made, that we all of have responsibility, it should sink in.
All right.
So it is not me wanting to, you know, defend what is not defendable.
All right.
If you see me talking, I talk as of a fact. I don't have any reason to cover up anything.
Friday, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, please.
Okay, your response?
Yeah, well, he has said based on the security aspect. But what me I'm saying is that if they want to get these people, it's as simple as any other thing. Let them call all traditional rulers. Because you see these people, they will sell a piece of land and these people will just build some block and start doing mining in Ibadan. It's not like the traditional rulers, they don't know. They know. I'm telling you fact that I know of.
Right, fact. All right. Thank you, Friday.
Yes, you see, what I will also tell you with regards to that is that if you are listening from the beginning, we have the investigating team have people in custody that are directly, you know, connected with these things. And with regards to traditional rulers and the people, if you followed what is happening in Oyo State, late last year, an executive order was signed to say that, okay, even if the state doesn't have so much obligations devolved to them, that as a state, that the state has a responsibility to protect its people. So that executive order addressed all these things you're talking about, which your state is implementing, that traditional rulers that are complicit, they will face the music. In fact, yesterday, you will see that the governor of Oyo State engaged the traditional rulers. So traditional rulers, people that are
all right, Ms. Oshiri, since we have a bit of connection issue with you, we'll try and get him back as quickly as we can. Sorry about that. Ms. Oshiri, can you hear me, please?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, but is it true that this illegal mining is an open business in Ibadan and it's been done in broad daylight? It's people are aware of it. You know, just like you go to Niger Delta, some people can say, oh, we know those who are doing coal fire or illegal crude oil, you know, refining in our village.
Not in Ibadan as per se. Oyo State is rich in solid minerals, and that is why the state has created an agency for that. Just like it happens in certain areas in the north, like Zamfara and whatever, we are oblivious of the fact that we have lots of illegal miners, and we've continued to go after them. Areas where they operate, the state security system has always been, after them, including collaborators within the state. So it is nothing that no one has known, that no one doesn't know. We know that there is an illegal market that is operating. And on the basis of that, the state had also come out to challenge that. You had someone that was interviewed like almost 2 years ago, talking recklessly, who was said to be the chairman of the Miners Association, a foreigner, talking recklessly to say, look, states, you cannot challenge us. We pay royalties or whatever, or taxes to federal government. So where is the state to come and challenge us? So in order to check those recklessness, the states had for some time, you know, taking them up to ensure that irrespective of wherever they are coming with the license, which they must have gotten with the input and support of certain unscrupulous elements in the state, that the state is going to challenge that. And the state, you know, has focused attention on that to ensure that we don't allow illegal minors to come and cause havoc here.
All right. Quite interesting. Mr. Fatawa Shelley, we've run out of time. Most of the questions I'm seeing here, you've basically addressed them already. So I want to thank you very kindly for being our guest this morning, and condolences to all of you in Oyo State. We pray that such an incident never happens again. We're looking forward to hearing more information about the investigation in the near future. Thank you very much for having me.
And listeners, I also thank you for your patience.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Mr. Fatai Washin is a special advisor to the governor of Oyo State on security matters, and also a former commissioner of police right here in Lagos State. Let's go for another break. And when we come back, we'll do a little bit more talking. I say goodbye afterwards. Stay with us. All right, we have to go. Don't forget, we're going to do the one play raffle draw this morning, and we'll pick the winners. You have till I'm done reading the news to go there and play www.oneplay.ng. All right, go there and play it, and you just might win. After the news, we'll do the draw, and we'll let you know who won and who didn't win. But I want to thank everyone who's called in and sent in messages. One here says, your guest said investigation is still ongoing, but the governor, Mark Inday, presented a report to the president. Already, what's really going on? Well, that is, I think, a preliminary report, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Jimmy Lissou is up next with Daily Digest. You don't want to miss it. My name is Kofi Bartels. See you tomorrow. Good morning.